Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast.
Greetings, Foxes fans. Welcome to the Foss Arms Public House, where it's me, Killer, in the chair, which can only mean one thing. Tim is out scouting players for next season, which means it's not a table for two, it's a settee for two, as I'm cuddling up to my ruddy-faced psychic, the excellent Norm. He's sitting here, he's looking very happy with himself. He's lapping away these Trotwell's IPA. He's wearing his replica Leicester City shirt, emblazoned with his all-time favourite player on the back. Just wanted to check that Junior Lewis did play number four, Norm. But anyway, Norm, extremely good evening to you, my friend.
Good evening to you, Killer. And as always, the introductions, particularly from you, get better and better all the time. So thank you for that. And yes, Junior Lewis is on the back of my shirt, and he was an excellent player for us.
Of course he was, yeah, slightly overpaid, slightly half-paced, and slightly one-footed. But that's for another show, folks, because Carlsberg don't do weekends, Norm. But if they did, you get the feeling, as far as Leicester City were concerned, they would kind of look like the weekend we've just had, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly would. It was obviously started off very well, didn't it, with the which was always going to be a really hard game for Ipswich. You know, Norwich away, but for them to lose that game, and then for us, of course, to win, and then subsequently find out that Leeds had also lost like Ipswich, it really couldn't have got any better, given the challenges we've had over the last few weeks and how we've kind of dropped off. And it was exactly what we needed, wasn't it? You know, absolutely. You know, for once, you know, the results elsewhere, you know, Ipswich play first, lose. You know, maybe the pressure of being top, you know, it's different being up there, isn't it? There's no doubt about it. And for once, we're the team that get the late winner. And like I say, to then to find out Leeds had lost, it was, yes, not quite a Trumpwell's IPA weekend, which we'd have probably won 5-1, and Ipswich and Leeds would have lost all chance of their beating us on goal difference. But yeah, the game, of course, was it was a bit of a challenge. You'll probably remember last week I did predict us to win 5-1. I mean, at least I got the fact that Birmingham scored a goal, or should I say Hermansson scored a...
we'll get into that.
a goal. But I thought we started well. I didn't have any worries about the game at all until the game actually started. Of course, we get the breakthrough, which I thought was deserved. I thought we'd created a couple of half chances, and you know, with a bit more luck, we could have been further ahead. But I again, you know, we score, and rather than killing the game off, we just, you know, let Birmingham back in it. And I just find it incredibly frustrating, this scoring and then just, you know, almost just chilling out, expecting to be able to hang on to the points. And you know, the writing was on the wall a little bit for their equaliser. There's, you know, they were pressing quite well. We were being very, very ambitious with our passing out. Hermansson a couple of times had let their player get right on top of him before he played it. And I do get very nervous when they're doing that. And you know, when they did equalise, the fact that it's in injury time of the first half or right on the stroke of half time, I don't want to be negative about the system at all, because it, you know, at the end of the day, we're top of the league, it's worked. But as we've said time and time again, sometimes you've just got to think a little bit different. And you know, the time of that it was, we weren't going to have a chance to score another goal. What we should be like, just cleared, let's get rid of it, get to half-time, 1-0, job done. Instead, we gift them a goal. I mean, and credit to Hermansson, you know, and credit to the crowd, really. They didn't really get on his back. It was disappointing, but he's a confident lad, and he didn't let it bother him. He kind of acknowledged a mistake, got on with it. But what it did mean is that even though we were pretty dominant in the second half, it was very, very squeaky bum time. And, you know, spent the most of the half thinking we weren't quite going to get the result that we needed. I mean, the number of times Fatawu passed it down the line and Didi couldn't get on the end of it was becoming, I mean, it was almost like a one-trick pony. We knew, Birmingham knew, everyone knew what was going to happen. And I thought we could have done with some changes, frankly, Killer, a little bit earlier, because I think that when they actually did make the changes, it did just help a little bit. Because for me, indeed, he has been struggling a little bit since he came back. He's not quite looked, you know, actually what he's looked like is the defensive midfielder he is. I think he's not shown what we need from that attacking midfielder position. So I was pleased when Atgun and Pratt came on. And they did change the game. And there's no doubt about that. You know, Atgun offers something a little bit different, you know, swinging it in with his other, like the other foot. Not one to be trying to beat his man quite as much, but looks good on the ball and quite inventive. And of course, you know, finally managed to swing one into the back post where Mavadidi, who after having two or three quiet games where he was probably struggling a little bit, in the last three or four has really come back into himself. And I thought it was given it's like the 88th minute and you've got a very, very big goalkeeper in front of you, I don't think he could have placed the header better. You know, as you're told to do, head it down onto the ground. And he did exactly that. And we got the result, which I think we absolutely deserved, but felt and absolutely needed. I think it's pivotal for our season, but we've made it a game again a lot harder than I think really we needed to. I think we could have won that much more comfortably, but we didn't, but we won. And like you say, Leeds and Ipswich losing, it has been excellent. So I don't want to be negative, but I just got to look at these little, that's what we're here for, just to pick things, isn't it? Just to say, this isn't quite right. We just need to do things a bit quicker and give us more of an opportunity to put games to bed. But
yeah, no, I quite agree with that. I think for most of this season, it's only recently where there's been a bit of doubt. For most of this season, I think Leicester City, tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like to some extent, as a football team, we're imposters in the Championship.
Yeah.
It's almost like, what are you doing here? Do you know what I mean? And yeah, I get the feeling there's a lot of managers have looked at that and gone, what are you lot doing here with the sort of quality that you've got? You know, and therefore, as a consequence, I think there's been plenty of games, and I think Saturday was a brilliant example of a high-quality Leicester City team would have really rolled over Birmingham. To some extent, I don't think we ever looked like we were ever going to do that, Noel.
No, I don't think we did. I think we were creating the odd chance, but nothing absolutely clinical. We were dominating, but we weren't, you know, like I say, the issue for me was that the subs should have happened earlier, because we weren't creating. We were getting the ball. We were, you know, Fatawu was beating his man, but the final ball or the ball to Ndidi was not working. And we just needed that freshen up and that change. And again, I mean, Rowett's a decent manager. And, you know, Birmingham have not come into Leicester really expecting to win. If they'd got a point, it would have been good. They were battling, and that's what they were, you know, ultimately, when they got that equaliser, that's what they were aiming for, trying to hang on. And actually, they, with their low block, they did a very, very good job. You know, I suppose the referee could have been slightly better. He was I don't think he had the best of games. And I think this has been shown regularly in the Championship that the standard of refereeing is pretty disappointing. But
It won't get any better next season.
No, probably.
Even more of them getting involved, of course, in officiating the games, and they're still getting it wrong. But anyway,
exactly. So yeah, I think you're right. It didn't look like we were purring or operating on full cylinders. But you know, like we've alluded to, the job was done in the end. And again, like I said last week, I'm loving the reaction from the players. It's clear that they are absolutely on board with what's going on. It's clear that they are desperate to win this division. And I know it seems obvious, you'd expect anyone to behave like that, but I think that the reactions you're getting are spontaneous and it's genuine joy and utterly thrilled, just like the Norwich game. And I think that is really heartening, because if you've got a group of players that want to win, they are going to give their all, even if sometimes we feel it's, you know, we're not seeing the fast pace, you know, or it's all seems a bit slow and pedestrian and a bit backwards and forwards. They're doing it because that's what they're told to do, and that's how we're playing, and that is fair enough. And so when they've created a goal like that, you know, hats off. And yeah, again, a great reaction. Mavadidi, a little silly taking his shirt off. I mean, I really don't like silly booking. So, you know, it seems a bit of a shame to do that. But
well, there's a million ways to celebrate a goal, as I've always said. And actually, that's one of the surefire ways you've got of getting yourself booked. Let's be honest, Norm, there's a couple of slightly older fellas, and I'm sure there's younger listeners. During the 70s and 80s, you never saw a footballer take his shirt off. I don't actually know why there was anybody ever has that inclination to do so. But anyway, maybe a conversation for another day. But the interesting point is about Leicester City, because obviously we've been a little bit doom-mongery simply because I think this Leicester City squad is the best that's probably ever been in the Championship. And I still think it's an absolute scandal that we've lost 8 games. That being said, of course, we are top of the league. So, you know, we've got to remember that. We've also got to remember that there are going to be lots of podcasts recorded for other teams. And interestingly, in the last 2 league games, we are the only team in the top 6 to get W's in both of them. And I think that just proves the point, Norm, that everybody's getting a bit twitchy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's inevitable that the teams going on good runs that come unstuck. I mean, the Championship is a difficult division. You know, we've got a couple of games coming up again against, you know, teams that are near the bottom. And on paper, you think the games are easy, but they're both away and they won't be. And it's the same for the games that Ipswich and Leeds are going to have this week. You know, we can look at things and we can try and predict. But the big thing for me is Leeds have gone on this incredible run of not losing a game. I think, is it this year? Am I right in saying they've not lost a league game this year? It's a crazy run. I'm sure we'll all remember that Southampton went about 23 games or something unbeaten. And looks what happened to them. They lose a game, and then I think they lost 3 out of the next 4 or something.
Yeah, now, I mean, their last 3 are draw, loss, draw. I mean, it looks like their bubbles burst.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one team that's not necessarily gone on huge winning runs and huge undefeated ones are Ipswich. They've just been pretty consistent, apart from a little bit of a 4 or 5 game blip. They've been pretty consistent all throughout the season. Yeah, and it was the same for us. We went on this run, didn't we? Really, where it just looked, you know, we lost a couple of games to Leeds and Middlesbrough, and we won sort of 8 on the trot. And you start thinking, you know, this is incredible. But defeats, how it affects you mentally. You know, Leeds would have been thinking, blimey, we just don't lose. You know, even if we're losing, we score late goals and get a draw, or we turn a draw into a win. We just cut, and then suddenly they've lost the game, and it just throws some doubt. So if they go a goal down, or even if it's on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever they're playing, or even if they're drawing coming into the last 10 minutes, gone will be the oh yeah, we always win the game. And it'll be the same for the supporters. They'll be nervous, and it's going to show. So it's definitely been, like you say, the Carlsberg weekend makes it even better, frankly, because of the negativity that's going to affect those two teams with for them 5 games left. I I mean, yeah, we're so close. We're so close to the end of the season now. I mean, I actually forget that. Actually, you know, now if we were lucky enough to get 3 or 4 points clear, that's actually that's probably a bigger lead than having 10 points with 15 games to go, because there's just not the time to make changes. So, yeah, I think that weekend has come at just the right time for us.
Couldn't agree with you more. We've got the game in hand, of course, assuming that we win that. And like you say, you look at Leicester City's running, and it does look favourable. I know we've got a couple of tougher home games at Southampton and West Brom, but looking at their form at the minute, I don't think that's anything we should worry about.
No.
I think the worry, if you're an Ipswich or Leeds United fan right now, is I think if Leicester City win that game in hand, you've almost got to settle for we are now fighting for one place, and one of them's going to miss out, Norm, and that's going to be an absolute hammer blow, isn't it?
Yeah, well, which I mean, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, and all the anything else I can do that brings us good luck, that it's not us. But you've got to expect that whichever team out of the top three doesn't get automatically promoted is going to be looking at an opportunity missed. You know, there's no doubt that the third place team is going to end up with way over 90 points. I mean, unheard of. And it's going to be such a hammer blow. And, you know, there's a very, very real possibility that Ipswich, if they miss out, will find themselves in a playoff third against sixth, Ipswich Norwich.
Yeah.
And you know what? You would not fancy, well, I'd fancy Norwich. You know, Norwich, I think they've done them, certainly not lost this season against them. And, you know, the pressures that come in with these, just the playoffs, it's, you know, the number of times the third place team doesn't get promoted, it doesn't bear thinking about. So, yeah, I and certainly with regards to our game in hand, and particularly the next couple of games, if we carry on winning, we're obviously, it's in our hands. Look, if we win our games, we are champions. End of story.
Yeah. So we don't actually even have to do that, do we?
No.
We can afford to lose one along the way, and we would still win it, absolutely guaranteed. Just spare a thought, by the way, for those poor people that support Birmingham City, because earlier in the season they must have started with fresh optimism and think, and it started really well. They got John Eustace in charge. Looked like he was a good young manager. The owners decided to displace him with Wayne Rooney. And they've woken up this morning. They've actually managed to find themselves now in the bottom three.
Yes.
Quite horrific run of form as well. I mean, goodness gracious, Norm, even in the history of making some really bad decisions, what on earth were they thinking about?
I've got absolutely no idea. And we've touched on this before. I mean, Well, I know what they're thinking. You know, Brady and his cronies are looking at a big name like Wayne Rooney and frankly, not understanding football. You know, not understanding that just because you were a great player, although I've always said I'm thinking he was slightly overrated as a player as well, but that is a conversation for another time, doesn't make you a great manager. I mean, his record as a manager wasn't any good. It's bizarre that these players get given, frankly, jobs that they haven't yet earned. You know, Rooney, Lampard, Gerrard, they ought to be doing their first manager roles in the Division One or the second division. They shouldn't be expected to be able to manage Rangers and Chelsea and Derby and Aston Villa and Birmingham. It's crazy, but hey, you know, I haven't got anything against Birmingham, but because of how the owners have treated the club, it almost makes me smile, frankly, that, you know, that their fall from where they were just by trying to be a little bit clever. And it's a lesson for, I think it's a lesson for anyone. Don't do it.
I agree, and I tell you what it is a lesson for: just get somebody in that knows the championship.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what they've tried to do with Mowbray, isn't it? But of course, unfortunately, he's gone off. You know, he's not very well. So
that's right. So I mean, they've done well. I think Gary Rowett's a good appointment. You know, But unfortunately, as a mate of mine said yesterday, the second that they sacked Eustace and got Rooney in, they then became the club that everybody wanted to see get relegated. And it looks like that wish.
It could. I mean, the bottom of the division. I mean, I was looking earlier. I mean, the number of teams that, you know, you could probably go up to like Blackburn and
it's literally probably Swansea.
There's
47 points.
There's a big, you know, a lot of the teams at the bottom won this weekend, didn't they? So it's really, you know, both Millwall and Plymouth have still got, you know, the Plymouth had a huge win at obviously relegating Rotherham and Bretton. I mean, that is pretty impressive to get relegated already, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, the bottom of the division is as exciting as the top, which is why the Championship is superb. And you've said all season, Killer, it's you actually have utterly embraced as not being in the Premier League. And, you know, whilst I'm sure, you know, I do desperately want us to get back up in the Premier League, it has been a journey which I've actually really, really, really enjoyed.
Well, the games come thick and fast. I mean, we'll get on to the Millwall game on Tuesday, but, you know, the games come thick and fast. And because of the fact that we're playing so well, we seem to be available to watch on TV if you're not able to get a ticket for the away
fixtures.
I, you know my views on VAR, and you know my views on the fact that I just like to be able to celebrate a goal without obviously worrying that it's going to get... Anyway, we've talked all that to death. But one thing I do want to come back to, Norm, because it's something that you mentioned during your excellent review of the game, and it's Wilfred Ndidi. And really, what are we going to do with him? Two questions, I suppose. The fundamental question is, he's out of contract in the summer. So question number one, do you offer him a contract, given the fact that we know all the restraints around FFP, etc., etc.? So question number one, do we offer him a contract? Question number two, if the answer to that is yes, do we revert back to him playing in a central midfield role, a role that he's much more accustomed to at the Premier League level?
The short answer, before I go into slightly more detail, is I think yes and yes. So I think I would offer him a contract. And I think my main reason for that is I know he'll be highly paid, so I can understand the FFP reasons why we perhaps shouldn't offer him a contract. But, you know, that doesn't save, you know, if he's on $100,000 a week or whatever we'd end up putting him on, you know, it's not going to save like millions and millions and millions of pounds and make a huge difference. But the reason I would have him is that I still think he's got something to offer. And I think he is still a decent player. And I think he would fit back into his more defensive role just in front of the back three or back four or what, however it is. I think it's worth having him. And also, of course, if he signed a contract, then there is a sale value for him. So it would be something that we could, you know, try and keep him for another season. But if he does okay, then maybe he's a player that will get, you know, a few million for when we did sell him. Going back to the yes, if we did sign him, he should revert to his proper position. Like I've alluded to, I believe since he's come back from injury, he's actually, and particularly I thought on Saturday, he demonstrated why he isn't actually an attacking midfielder. I mean, he did, don't get me wrong, he does some good stuff, but he for me just doesn't quite see things as you would expect. Like, for instance, a Maddison. You know, there's got to be a better attacking midfield option than Wilfred Ndidi, however much I love Wilfred Ndidi. And I'd, like I say, keep him, but yeah, definitely revert back for me to his old position.
We always have a problem in football. The whole point of the Bosnan ruling was, and what the opportunity opened up is, when a footballer is out of contract, provided he's not injured, the reason he likes that position is he can then really start to make pretty wild wage demands signing on fee demands because there's no transfer fee involved. Wilf Ndidi is 27. Do you think if we put an offer, a contract in front of him, he's just going to say, no thanks, I'm going for a big money transfer somewhere where I'm not necessarily saying he will get more wages, but he could end up getting a pretty hefty signing on fee somewhere. Is he just going to clear off?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's obviously he's got his family to consider as well, with his right to do that. And you know what? If he did, I wouldn't begrudge him that. You know, we've not managed to tie him down to a contract. But the bottom line is, you know, with a year left on his contract, no one came in for him. You know, I didn't hear loads of rumours that indeed, not like when he was brilliant for us. You know, there was two or three years ago, I was fearful of losing him. You know, actually now, I'm not sure what level of club would come in for him. So, like, up to the COVID season, etc., you'd have definitely expected him, you know, if you left Leicester, who were then a top five club, you'd have thought absolutely it'd be like a Man United, Liverpool kind of player. But I don't think he's at that level now. And I don't think he'd go to, I don't think he'd be a West Ham or Aston Villa level or Newcastle even. I think it'd be very much like, if he left, it'd be like Timothy Castagne going to Fulham. It's no, actually, would where he went represent, apart from the option of the, like you've alluded to, the signing on fee, would that offer him any better prospect of European football or staying in the Premier League? I don't know. I suppose much of the staying in the Premier League would depend on our points. What happens to us, assuming we get up in the Premier League with regards to the charges against us. But, you know, the bottom line is, I think he likes it at Leicester. He's been here for a long time. If we offered him, I would imagine if we offered him similar to what he's on now.
Well, he's reportedly on £75,000 a week.
Okay.
Here's a question for you, though. Do we get enough game time from Wilfred Ndidi? Because
yeah,
there's no doubt that his last few seasons especially have been blighted with fairly long-term injuries as well, mate.
Yeah, that's true. That is an excellent point, as always, Killer. I think that is something that the hierarchy at the club, you would hope, would also consider. And I suppose the other consideration is, you know, where, you know, if we do get promoted and if we do find a way of being able to spend some money somehow, given that it will be a new, you know, it'll fall into a new year, then it'll be interesting to see where he fits in the manager's plans. And much the same with Vestergaard, to be honest. I mean, Vestergaard's also out of contract, so we could probably speak about him. And I mean, he has been magnificent this season, but, you know, I still have huge reservations about whether he'd like make it in the Premier League. And, you know, my gut feeling is no, I think we need to replace him. Mm. So it's, and of course he's also out of contract, but I think if he's offered another contract, which I suspect he will be, I think given that he's had a manager come in who clearly like has him almost first on the team sheet, I would be surprised if he didn't stay, because I think he would look at it as an almost guaranteed another season in the Premier League, hopefully, where he would start them. You know, he'd be the main central defensive player because of his ability on the ball. And, you know, goodness me, there were a couple of runs he did on against Birmingham where I thought, goodness me, you really are very good at football. You're just really slow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt at all that, well, against Ipswich in the FA Cup. I mean, do you remember when he's literally gone through? It's like Ricky Villa, isn't it? It's completely... Anyway, just turning away from Leicester City for a second, but certainly on an associated matter, two more points deducted from Everton's tally for the season, Norm, because of their breach of FFP. Now, the worry is, and of course you try and make these numbers work out, the worry is that they're sort of tens of millions over, not massively over. We know that we've virtually doubled what we couldn't spend.
Yeah, it's...
What are you thinking now in terms of... Okay, let me put... let me go shotgun on this rather than as waffling around it. Right here, right now, if your life depended on it, what do you how many points, assuming we get promoted, assuming that our KC barrister cannot argue the point that we were out of the Premier League for a season, so it can't be used, assuming all those things, there's going to be a points deduction. They've decided that that is legal. Your life depends on it. How many points are we going to be docked?
Am I allowed a spread?
Yeah, okay. I'll give you a two point spread.
Okay, I'm gonna. In which case, if my life depended on it, I would go for. Given that we're kicking up such a fuss, and therefore I don't think if we appealed, I think that the appeal would probably be thrown out, or rather the Premier League certainly won't be lenient. Given that Everton got 10, and they've now got an extra two. I would say that we'd get between 10 and 12 points as a deduction. And I think that if we'd played ball and because what we're trying to do, aren't we, is frankly, if we win, what we're going to have done is show that, you know, much like the, you know, it'll be a seismic result in as much as it will demonstrate that financial fair play isn't legal. And therefore, we would have beaten the Premier League. So the fact that we're throwing that at them, they're not going to be lenient. They're going to throw the book at us, and as will the Football League if we're still in that, heaven forbid. And we touched on this last week. We've got to get promoted. You know, even if we've got a 20 point deduction and we're guaranteed to go down, we need the Premier League money to rebuild. Yeah. So we have got to get promoted. But yeah, I think 10 to 12 wouldn't be out of the question. And I can't imagine they'd give us any less than 8.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm guessing as with the Everton initial points deduction, 10 went down to 6. Are we saying 10 to 12, but with the possibility of an appeal that may get carved up? What's your thoughts on that?
I think that I would be surprised if we gained many points back from the appeal. My view would be that the Premier League. Okay, let's rephrase it. I think the Premier League would expect us to have between 10 and 12 points after the appeal. Then, so if they thought we were going to appeal and the precedent was that we'd better let them have 3 or 4 points back, then maybe the points deduction is going to be more akin to 14 to 16, allowing us to get four or 4 points back like Everton did. I think I think the other thing here, what they'll do is like I think Forest are appealing their points deduction, and I think it's right that if you lose your appeal, there should be the jeopardy of getting extra points.
Yes,
because you know that actually stops, you know, if there's no jeopardy to appealing, well, you might as well appeal. So I think that whatever points we get, you know, if they said to us 10 to 12, stick with that and that's what you're going to get. If you appeal, that's great. Okay, you might be fortunate enough to get it down to 6 to 8, but we could absolutely guarantee you're playing in the Football League by saying that if you fail, then we're going to give you another 4 points. Then I think it needs to be set at a level that the teams seriously think about whether or not they should just stick with what they got. And I think that's what Everton will do with this 2 points. I think, you know, I don't think Everton are going to go down this year. I think they'll probably just accept it. I can understand Forest. You know, they're level on points with Luton now. To win an appeal could make all the difference with them. But yeah, we'll see. I think we'll be made an example of.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, the numbers, the Leicester City numbers, are just so much juicier.
Yes,
than Everton and Forest. Okay, another shotgun question then.
Okay,
what amount of points deduction do you think could be imposed, whereby it would be almost a foregone conclusion that we get relegated?
I think that depends on what we're able to do with the squad if we get the points deduction. So I look, I'm forever an optimist, aren't I? But, you know, this season, I suspect we're going to see teams go down with very low points in the very low 30s at most. So if that's the case, you know, given that we've always believed this to be a Premier League side anyway, if we can keep the squad together and make a couple of additions, for instance, I know this might be a bit of a stretch, but it will be a new financial year. So we might have these opportunities. If we have that opportunity, then I think 10 or 12 points would not be absolutely 100% the nail in the coffin, assuming that we have a season where, you know, teams are getting low 30s again. I think we've got a team that would be more than capable of getting 40, let's say 45, 46 points. So you would need to have a season where you've got a, like the equivalents of a Burnley, Sheffield United, Luton, Stoke Forest, you know, teams that are really going to struggle, which I'm sure Leeds and Ipswich or whoever else comes up would find themselves in those positions. I think there's a lot of poor teams in that Premier League. So I think we'd have a chance, but I think the biggest problem, and I think you mentioned this before, is the fact because we would start on minus, you're just, you know, to be able to catch up is, you know, it just always looks like an impossibility, doesn't it? It's not like Everton, who, when they had their 10 points taken off, still looked all right because they had a really good start to the season. You know, the pressure's on, so that would probably affect us as well. But yeah, I think 10 to 12. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I think anything more than 8. Look, I've got real reservations about next season, and I won't lie. I think Enzo's to be applauded for what he's done this season. I'm just looking at it holistically. I'm just looking at it with through not blue spectacles. Just as a football pundit, I don't think Enzo is going to be a top Premier League manager. I hope I'm wrong. I haven't seen enough from him in terms of a pragmatic style, in terms of astuteness, strategy, all of the key things I think that means you become a top Premier League manager. I don't think we've seen it, and I worry about it. I worry gravely about the squad, the number of low knees we've got, whether or not we're going to be able to actually sign them. I worry that we've got a centre-back that doesn't overly get tested in this league, but his pace is going to get horrifically exposed. I worry about goals because I don't know whether or not Vardy's got a season left in him in the Premier League. He's only just really shown that he's got a season left in him in this league. I don't think he's got a season left in him in the Premier League. Iheanacho goes at the end of the season. Dakar, I don't think, is worth his place. I'm not sure that Cannon is a Premier League. This all adds up. Do you get where I'm coming?
I do.
And then all of a sudden, you've got all of that down and you bag it all up and you go, oh yeah, and don't forget, you're starting with minus 10.
Yeah, I agree. And you did make a very, what I thought was an excellent and valid, if not, you know, sad point in many ways last week when you said that, you know, that there is a point where, you know, we accept, like you've said, you know, a points deduction, we are not knowing that we are not going to be a Premier League team, that you take this opportunity to not spend on players, you know, not spend on players that to keep you in the Premier League. You're spending on players that are going to get you back up after another season in the Championship, and use that as the rebuilding, getting the money from the Premier League. Stay within the boundaries of FFP or whatever its guise is at that time. Take that cash, build a squad more than capable of getting promoted, and doing it that way. And then the next time we're in the Premier League, we have got the opportunity to invest. So I think that was a really, you know, it's not, I wouldn't like it. I don't think any Leicester fan would like it. But actually, as a business plan, if I can't imagine at all that the business guys at Leicester would even dream of that, unless they listen to this show, and they wouldn't credit you for the idea, I'm sure, Killer. But I think that actually at the end of the season or during the season, if you can fully understand why it's been done, and you know what, if they're honest about it, saying, you know, we're not expecting to stay up, you know, we are, this is what we're doing. Obviously, we're going to give it our best shot, but we've got to think sustainability and the future and safety of the club versus a short-term success in the Premier League. So, that's what we're going
to do. The other thing they're going to have to look at, really, you know, can they roll the dice and just see if they can get some really good loanees in?
Yeah.
They're not going to cost you anything. Can they keep you in the Premier League? If not, you just send them back at the end of the season and go, thanks very much. The whole gig was, I don't know, million things. And obviously no real point speculating at this stage because we've still got games left, of which we've got two coming up this week, Norm. Millwall away, always a favourite fixture for our fans. An evening down at the New Den. They're obviously not been a great time of things. Neil Harris came back as manager. Looked like he might have turned fortunes round, but actually they've sort of gone backwards. What are you expecting on Tuesday evening?
Look, it's an away game, a team battling to save their life. So what I'm expecting is that we'll be hot favourites. It's a game that we should go and win. But, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, we saw this on Saturday with Birmingham. I expect a very, very similar kind of game. Millwall are at home, so that obviously you'd expect them to be a little more, you know, a little more positive. But they would look at a game against us, and with that being big-headed, if they got a point, that would be a point they wouldn't, you know, looking through their last fixtures before the end of the season. Most, when they're banking on what they need to stay up, they would look at this fixture and say, right, we're not going to get anything from that game. So they're going to put a bank of five across the bat because that seems to what stifles us a bit. That's what I'm expecting from them. I'm expecting a tough game, but if we can get in front, then I expect us to go on and win it. We have got the quality to beat these teams. And despite the fact we huff and puff sometimes, and we did lose to QPR, our record actually against the teams in the bottom half of the division is actually superbly impressive. So the reality is, I'm not expecting anything other than us to, and we can't afford, frankly, anything other than coming away with the 3 points. We don't want to, we had two great results at home. Yeah, we've got 6 out of 6. Like you said, no one else in the top six did that. We need to carry that on. And I think the players will have the confidence to do that. I'd like to see, frankly, a very similar team that was to what we played on Saturday. I'd probably give Ricardo a rest. I would like to see, indeed, I'd like to see someone like Pratt, to be honest, come in for, or Atkun come in for Ndidi, and I would like Vardy to play instead of Daka. Possibly even Fatawu have a bit of a rest. I would make some changes here, not out of disrespect for Millwall or because I'm expecting us to win, but just because I think the team just needs a little bit of a freshen up. And I think in Ndidi having a rest and Ricardo wouldn't do us any harm whatsoever. Expecting us to come away with the 3 points, but in a tighter game than what I would have predicted sort of 2 months ago, probably.
3 days later, it's Plymouth Argyle, a fixture I'm sure that all away fans were absolutely thrilled to find out that it was a full, well, in fact, I would imagine the coaches are going to be leaving the King Power on Thursday night to get there for the Friday 8 o'clock kickoff.
Last Thursday they left.
Yeah, Plymouth on the Friday. Norm, I'm guessing everything you've just said dittoed.
Absolutely. No point. Yeah, 100%. Another tough game. They had a great result against Rotherham, you know, pulled clear a little bit. But I was kind of hoping that the teams at the bottom wouldn't have done quite so well, because come Friday, I mean, it's possible that if they win their game tomorrow as well, then that they could have been, you know, had a nice little buffer. But they are going to be, it's looking like they're going to be battling for their lives. But again, I suppose the positive of that is, of course, that, you know, really they're going to need, you know, they're going to be wanting to try and look at getting a result. And again, they'd come to the game thinking we're not likely to get anything, so potentially going for it might play into our hands. But yeah, I expect a tough game, but I expect us to come through and win.
We're top of the league. We've got six games left, and we're playing a team placed 19th,
yeah,
and a team placed 20th.
Completely.
You can't argue with that, can you? And
no.
A lot of L's in those last five games for them. So, yeah, I completely agree with your sentiment on that one, and hopefully two winnable games. And that leads us nicely and almost seamlessly, Norm.
As always,
for the predictor table.
Indeed. So it was a good weekend for us, obviously. We all got the result correct, as in we all predicted that we would beat Birmingham. None of us got the correct score. I was the furthest out with a 5-1 victory. But anyway, so we all got an extra point. So you're currently leading the way still, Killer. 41 to you, 39 to Tim, and 37 to me. You did say then about predicting, you know, obviously looking at predicting the scores for these next couple of games, you know, that we wouldn't really expect anything other than a couple of victories. Well, actually, Tim does expect something other than a couple of victories, because he does, Killer. Tim has predicted a 1-0 defeat at Millwall.
What? Really?
He has.
Yeah.
And then he's
having a lovely holiday.
But he has been more positive against Plymouth. He has gone for a 2-1 victory against Plymouth. So yeah, thanks for that, Tim. I mean,
I think this is gamesmanship. He's rolled the dice here, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like thinking, I want us to win, but if we don't, then maybe it gives me a chance of catching Killer, so they want to lose.
Yeah,
bit pathetic, really. But anyway, cannot understand it. So he's gone 1-0 to Millwall, 2-1 to Plymouth. Before I come to you, Killer, I'm going to tell you my scores.
Yes,
I'm going to be rude. I'd normally be polite, but I am going to suggest that we are not going to concede in either game, and I am going for the same result in both games. I am going for 2-0 at Millwall, and I'm going for 2-0 at Plymouth.
Okay, like that. I've, especially given the superb quality of the Birmingham equaliser, I'm going to go for 2-1. Millwall that will win. I completely agree. I think that will be hard fought. I think less so Plymouth. I actually think we'll really, really give them a good clean up. I'm going to go 1-4.
Ooh. Well, I do hope that the leader of the predictor table is right. That'd be a lovely way to start the weekend.
Absolutely. Okay, good stuff. Thanks very much, as ever, Norm. And final thoughts before we close.
Yeah, we're back on top. Let's stay on top.
Absolutely. Six games left. They're all winnable. We're on 88 points. We can smash through three figures, Foxes fans. Keep the faith. And we will be back, hopefully, with Tim, and slightly more optimistic Tim, than we've had little threads off this evening. With Tim, we're looking forward to getting Tim back for what should be a great show. Speak to you all.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.